All right, Cole. What are we doing this week? Oh, buddy.
You're going to have to forget the smoke here. Sorry. We're here in this. Let me take this bag off of your head. I flew us to Japan.
Oh, hey. Glorious Nippon.
Yes. And sorry, this is a pachinko parlor. Lots of smoke happening. But
we couldn't have gone to like Akihabara or anything?
No. Like, I figured all of the moe would make your head explode.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I am a well-known racist. If you look on social media, so it is. Cool. Just hold me back, because I'm just gonna about start being awful.
Okay, all right. I understand. No. So I commissioned. I went to Konami and I commissioned a brand new pachinko machine to help us decide which game we're going to do. Pachinko. Oh, okay. You have a little bit of control over it, but mostly it's gambling, right? It is electromechanical gambling. So let's pull this plunger back. I'm not sure that's how pachinko works. And
I think there's a button, but
oh, okay.
Plunger works.
This one's like Terminator 2. It's got a little trigger on it.
Ooh.
Yeah. So let's see here. Pating. Now, okay. Gary, you're going to see that this ball, as it goes around, actually contains a living creature.
Oh, and the way he struggles, it's like an egg.
Yeah.
Like a sphere with a living creature inside.
Yeah. It's actually going to, as he struggles and is confused and gets real sick, he's going to kind of wind his way. Sorry, this has been looping up and down several times. Otherwise, this rhyme would be over. And it lands in Sonic Spinball.
All right.
Nope. Let's take this mouse to the hospital. It's funny that a sewer game for sewer kids with a sewer protagonist starts out in a sewer.
An endless sewer.
Yep.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yes.
Yeah. Ordinarily, just real quick, a little bit of housekeeping. Mm-hmm. Guest episode's coming. You guys just wait. We have scheduling stuff.
The guest episode would come later. This is a raffle episode.
Oh, raffle episode is here. Guest episode's coming.
Yep.
It's slightly later than you think.
Yeah.
I talked about it. I don't even at this point have no conception of the relation between when we record and when things come out.
Right.
That is totally broken. But I've talked about how timey-wimey this summer is with releases and recording. So
yeah. Well, I mean, we're still close to
becoming like Retronauts, where it's just like, welcome to episode something, well, you know, where they can't say which episode it is.
We know what order these episodes come out in, though.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we're teetering on the brink, like Sonic. Teetering on the edge of a trash can in a poison lake.
Yeah, you're right. But no, this is a raffle episode. Gary, can you vamp for a moment while I try and pull up the suggester for this?
Yeah. So this is Sonic Spinball, the weirdly permanently in print kind of beloved Sonic spinoff that taught young Gary that frame rates kind of matter as a kid. And
less than 60, no sale.
Well, not less than like 20. Like this is the one of the choppiest games I've ever played on a 16-bit console.
Oh yeah,
and maybe more than most genres, I think it matters in pinball.
Oh yeah, because you know your controls are pinned to your to your frame rate, and also being able to track the arc of a moving object is pinned to the frame rate.
Yes, and just these kind of minute, you know, the way that this game essentially. The core mechanic of this game is if you do the pinball thing where you're hitting the ball when it's near the end of the flipper to get maximum mm-hmm. force, you'll always go into a fail zone.
Oh yeah.
Like a place you don't need to go. Mm-hmm. You always have to like do it a little bit before that or a little bit after that. And that's the mechanic. It is like one of those games where they drop the ruler and you have to catch it. Like you just have to get that one little spot, which is hard as hell to do at this like 15 frames per second, no animation, super choppy Sonic game.
Yeah, you may as well be playing this game by telegraph.
Yes. Yeah, it's a play-by-post server.
Like, this was recommended and suggested by our raffle winner, Michael. Who didn't offer any comment, this was his first choice, and I'm positive that this has been suggested in other places by other people. I'll get those at the end. But yeah, like this, did you play this when it was out?
Not in 1993. I played it in like 1996 when I bought a Genesis. I ended up like didn't have a Genesis when I was a little kid. Got one when I was like 16 or 17, when I was in high school, and that's when I played like all of my favorite Genesis games. But this was not, my cousin was my main exposure to the Genesis growing up, and he was not really a Sonic guy. So I didn't play it then.
It's more of a Dynamite Heady guy.
Yeah, he was a Rystar kid. he was a rising Rystar. This was included on that Genesis like 6-in-1 pack.
Yeah.
Which I got when I got the Genesis because I knew I wanted Shadowrun. I knew I wanted Starflight, but then I was like, I just want to play, let's play some Sonic. You know, and pick that up in order to play that and Golden Axe and shit. And out of all those games, this is clearly the worst one. So I played it as a kid, but not a real little kid.
Right. I played this as a real little kid. I was a Sonic kid growing up, and I still harbor affection for those early Genesis Sonic days, you know, kind of just predictably, right? Game, and it was funny to see it because all the pieces link up. This game was kind of a stopgap to cover the delay of Sonic 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, what Sonic game can you make in 6 months? the poor guy who made this.
It's always good when you pin something to the to the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's solve for time as opposed to literally anything else. And so I remember, you know, being in those halcyon heady days between Sonic 2 and 3, waiting for 3 and getting the, you know, getting news, oh, this isn't coming out when you think it's going to. Here's this other thing that, like, hey, this incorporates some stuff from that Saturday morning cartoon that you like, being a Sonic kid, that you are so angry you have to go bowling on Saturday mornings because you have to miss it. You can only catch the first 5 minutes, you stupid garbage kid.
Yeah.
But I got this.
Was that the Sonic? Because there's two Sonic cartoons.
Yes.
Right. There's one where he's in a band and one where he isn't. And that's right. True, right? Like, I'm not just making that up.
No, I thought you were doing like a Josie and the Pussycats kind of thing.
No. There's a Sonic. One of the Sonic cartoons is based around like the power of music and him playing with other animals in a band.
That may have been after this. So there was the Sonic afternoon show that I think was on like USA or TBS or something like that.
Okay.
And that was the super low production value, like surrealist Mobius world. Like if you see any of like the Sonic Says kind of stuff, that's when, you know, that was that. And that had like the wacky chicken and bulldozer bot sidekick guys. Meanwhile, the Saturday morning one was a little bit more serious, and was kind of based and tied in with the comics. That had noted fetish starter Sally Acorn and Antoine de Coulet and whatever the fuck that walrus's name was. But that was where they were fighting like a really evil Dr. Robotnik who was like turning animals into robots. That had Bunny Rabbit as well. And this actually incorporates like a bunch of those characters, at least as kind of set dressing. So when you blow up some of these guys, like, oh, there's the walrus popping out of that chicken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The thing I was thinking about is called Sonic Underground.
Ugh.
And that is Sonic, along with Sonia, Manic, the Hedgehog as well. And this is the one where they all play in a band. So I just wanted to make sure I didn't dream that before like people flip out.
Yeah.
The title, before we get back, I mean, we'll talk about that Sonic and Sonic Spinball. The logo for Sonic Underground is like a guitar with Sonic's head as the body.
Oh, no.
But it's like kind of ultra realistic. Like it looks like he's halfway into turning into a guitar. It's really weird. it is unusual.
Yeah. Is it just a... again, somebody's fetish is all I can read into this stuff.
Yeah,
because
yeah, it looks like an inflatable guitar. It looks like you'd like play air hockey to, or like play skee ball to win it.
Yeah, you don't get tickets for air hockey.
That's true. You only get the tickets of slamming on your bros.
Oh yeah, you get the knuckle scars.
Yeah, yep.
And to prove you're in it to win it.
Slug bug black. Slug bug red.
So yeah, I was like way into this, but I also felt that something was off. I didn't have the words to put it, but it just felt kind of shitty. And you noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the one thing I will say, like, I'm not a big Sonic guy, but like Sonic doesn't have shitty production values.
No,
like Sonic is smooth and attractive and good music. And like, you know, those are all things that like Sonic does.
Right.
For as much as, like, I don't like the stage design of Sonic, mm-hmm. but that's more, like, ephemeral.
Right.
You know, like, the actual, like, just how it feels like a video game.
Yeah.
You know, just fine. Yeah. This doesn't quite, this feels like, it does, it feels like a tabletop experience. Like, when you said, you know, playing it by, you know, message board or whatever, like, it just feels, it's so slow-paced. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just frame rate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. Like I noticed it really a lot when I was little, because like, oh, Sonic sometimes runs around in this, but it's almost always like to reposition yourself on like a platform. Like that doesn't feel good at all.
No.
And when you're
you jump, you can't jump forward.
Right.
Like jumping kills all your forward momentum in this game.
When your game that says, "Hey, this is Sonic in a pinball machine," does worse than the one level in the first game of this series that came out 4 years before it.
Yeah.
Like that's saying something. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know, Casino Night Zone or whatever. I guess that was what? Carnival? I forget. It's all a nightmare.
It's Casino Night.
There we go.
Zone, I think. Yeah. So it's got that element. The other reason why it's so slow is that Sonic continuously gets caught in like little areas where he's bouncing around very slowly between enemies
mm-hmm.
that respawn endlessly. So like when I was talking about that pinball thing, how you can do the like the 45 degree angle upward pinball shot, which is like the standard, I feel like is like the standard pinball shot.
Yeah.
You know, things are always positioned there to take advantage of that. When you do that in the first stage, you get, or the first like section of the first board, you get up in this little area where you bounce around between these robo worms.
Worms. Yeah.
And it's like goes seven on of them. Ever.
Yep.
And they respawn and it just continuously, like that's the most likely outcome of any mm-hmm. pinball stroke you make. And you're just going to sit there and watch him slowly bounce back and forth between these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's excruciating. Yeah. Like there is no sense of that kind of speed and momentum, which is not only pinball, but also Sonic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that is also what we want from Sonic the Hedgehog.
That, yes. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. The Hedgehog.
Yes. I would be playing your pins ball. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Take me to the arcade.
Yeah. I was expecting something a little bit more fluid and pleasant.
Yeah. And I haven't played anything beyond just the Genesis cartridge that I still own. And then what I emulated it on here, like, I don't know if they smoothed that out at all with any of the subsequent re-releases. And they trot this thing out. Oh, man. Like at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, this is on everything. Like you can play this game in other games. Like you can play this on your phone. Like you can play this everywhere.
Which it is just leads me to believe that it's better, like more beloved than I think it actually is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It is wildly diverse. Like if you look at the if you look at the it is wildly diverse as well.
Yep.
It is
like I said, you got Bunny Rabbi, you got that fucker Walrus.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you said Bunny Rabbi. that's a thing. Yeah. Silly rabbi.
It's a shalop-eared rabbit.
Yeah. I'll take it. Okay. Shivalop-eared.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the reviews on GameFAQs are all like, I mean, there's some that are like, would put this where I would put it, which is like 2 hearts
mm-hmm.
on GameFAQs probably. But there's a wild like range of like 5 and 1.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are just like, oh, no, this is actually like pretty fucking rad. But those reviews, they're all just like, I love this when I was young. I don't give a shit. Bunch of memories as a kid.
I'm going to come in and say this. I was 6 when this came out. I was right in the pocket. That's more of a pool thing. Still have like negative affection for this.
Yeah, it's still not very, you know, it doesn't have any place in a review.
Right.
You know, your memories. So people either really, really love it or people don't love it.
Yeah. Should we describe the basics of this?
Sure. Because it's not, if it were faster and smoother, the idea of a pinball game with this kind of exploration element,
mm-hmm.
kind of cool.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, there's a good game to be made with this concept,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing that they haven't, there's like a GBA Sonic pinball game as well. Hmm. I have not played.
Neither have I. There's also Rollers of the Realm, where like random battles are done with something like that. But like what's happening here? So this is part of the grand tradition of, hey, this game character or property has something vaguely spherical in it, so let's put that in a pinball game. So this is
like
right up there with
Mario as well.
Yeah. Yep,
they did spherical.
Well, you know, kind of a bigger fella.
After a couple Italian beefs, we're really laying a high on the ethnic humor in this episode. Like I don't know what it is, but it's like.
Everybody gets a turn, you know.
Yeah. We're equal opportunity offenders, you know. Yeah, we're like the Dennis Leary of podcasts.
we punch in every direction. So you've got your Kirby's, you've got your Pokeballs, you've got your Samus's, and you've got your Sonic who does a spin dash, and when he does that, boom, bada bing, he is a ball of spines and what have you.
He becomes a ball boy.
Yep.
And in this game, you know, you start off in the sewer, as we mentioned. And the trick is you go through and you're trying to collect all of these Chaos Emeralds by getting to these hard parts of the board. The camera is very zoomed in, so you don't get an idea at all about the scope of the stage. It is zoomed in like a regular video game level.
Right.
As opposed to kind of like, you know, even the worst pinball games, you see half the board at once.
Right. And here, there are just going to be situations where an enemy spawns right above where the camera will show you. And
yes.
You have no way to time your shot around.
Yeah. Which never hurts you. It just knocks you back, because that's the kind of this game's thing. It's like,
you're going to punish you with boredom. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of tedium. Like you push all the buttons to unlock the thing, and then you have to go through it three times to smash the three barrels, you know, to get done with it.
Yeah.
Essentially you want to get up to this boss after kind of exploring this pinball board, which is like, again, I kind of think that there's something to the idea of making a pinball game where like the pinball boards couldn't exist in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is not emulating pinball.
No.
Like, this is not a pinball game. It is a game that, like, uses the iconography and stuff of pinball to do something.
Yeah. I know you're not doing this, but it sounds like you're right on the edge of giving the game too much credit. It is a cool idea.
I am. I think I am probably giving it a little bit more credit, because I do think it is, there's something to this. I would like to see it done, like, I'd like to see this done well.
Yeah.
You know?
HD remake, guys. Come on.
I mean, not even a Sonic. Like, get this little piece of shit out of here. Like, I'd like to see this done well. Like, just give it, you know, Bopo. Like, just give it. It doesn't matter what mascot it is.
But yep. No, let's workshop this. Bopo. Yeah, Bopo. What is he?
Bopo.
Yeah.
Bopo is like a clown. Like a clown dog.
Okay.
Like a dog that ate a bunch of clown makeup.
So it's not even expertly applied. It's just kind of a mess.
Yeah, just kind of all around his mouth and everything. It just kind of like a red mess.
Okay.
Around his face.
I think that every mascot, it starts with a catchphrase and then works backward. What does Bopo say?
It is mothers lock up your daughters. Okay. Here comes Bopo.
Okay. And Bopo. I mean,
Bopo
just,
the Randy Pop.
what does Bopo exist in opposition to?
Bopo exists in opposition to the condom squad, because they don't feel as good. So
okay.
Bopo says they feel like snow pants on your dick.
Yeah, so he's Bopo the raw dog.
Yeah, Bopo the raw dog, exactly. So, and your whole point with Bopo is to, to get every way that sentence could end, it was bad. Like I had like a slot machine in my head that was like, you know, prom, high school, college campus, like everything made it gross. But that's, I mean, Bopo is he's kind of an anti-hero, so.
Right.
It's okay.
But Bopo isn't intended to be a role model.
No. He's like a booger man. He's the booger man of mascot characters.
Yeah, well, he's intended to be a role model, R-O-L-L, because it's, I mean, he's in his brand new pinball game.
And because he can roll around, because he knows tricks. He's a good boy.
Yeah.
Or he was, before the tragic accident.
He was a good boy.
He was a good boy. He fell in with a bad crowd.
Who are some of Bopo's friends?
He exists along with Boner Bill.
Okay.
Who is the other, like, the
oh, he's the cowboy hockey player.
He's the cowboy hockey player who taught Bopo about what it means to have a male productive set.
Okay.
Like a kit.
Yeah, block and tackle. Yeah.
Yeah, block and tackle.
And they're inseparable.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're inside most of the time. Okay. However, when you tilt, it's you really tilt, if you know what I mean.
So you kick Sonic out, you bring Bopo in.
Bopo is in with Boner Bill, with Sally the nurse, Forky Fred, and Noshu Harold. And his bunch of the back alley crew, they hang out.
back alley brings another set of implications.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, that, well, that's Shoeless Fred.
Rose agrees. Yeah. This bit will be done soon.
Yeah,
but if you take Beppo and you put him in, something that has like even just a better frame rate than this.
Oh yeah, a better game.
Yeah.
Beppo for not even president, like Beppo for shovelware release. 7 out of 10 shovelware release 2016.
Yeah, for Mount Mobius controller. Yeah.
Yes. Into it. Beppo the Raw Dog.
I think his name's changed 5 times.
Beppo the Raw Dog is pretty good.
It is pretty good.
I think that's pretty, and the clown makeup just makes him more terrifying because some people are into that shit. Yeah. Funny fuck me, clown boy. Funny fuck me.
Well, I just like
somebody said.
I like the idea that periodically he has to go and find another kid of clown makeup to eat.
Yeah, that's a power up.
Yeah,
because dogs will eat fucking anything.
Well, yeah,
and Beppo, Bobo's not any exception there.
Yeah, forget where we were at with the actual game.
How far can you get in this?
Because
I haven't gotten to the boss because I end up, you get, the first stage is very generous. Like, I kind of like that Sonic, God, I'm giving it too much credit, that you can't die. Like, you land on the little platform and you get a chance to jump out of the way.
Yeah.
From other thing. But then once you get to the later levels where there's goo, then you just die and you always start at the beginning of the level.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do all of that tedium again. Like, I have to press all the 3 buttons, which means getting stuck in the worm zone. Bopo. The worm zone. Get stuck in the worm zone for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Not 20 minutes. I didn't play this for but like it gets really tedious.
Yes, it does. Which is why I liked having save states. But you're right.
Yeah.
It is good that there are those chances to save. Like, even when there's the goo, there's like the 50-gallon barrel that you can land in sometimes. Like, and it's progressive too. Like, as you go along, you get fewer chances. So like that barrel starts out stationary, and then if you open up the next area, it starts like moving left and right. So you have like a little peggle bucket at the bottom.
Yeah.
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 Which is a good thing.
Like the lack of that is one of my least favorite things about pinball.
Yeah.
Where like you can sit down and put down a quarter and literally just the ball just goes like back into the thing. It's like, well, fuck. And I didn't do anything. Leave me alone, pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I had a good pinball experience recently.
Oh, you did?
Which is rare because I have a hard time understanding pinball.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. It's one of those things. I want let's get Zach to take us to ground control and then explain to us what's cool about this.
Is that Zach or Bob Mackey too?
Oh yeah,
he's also a big pinball guy. But both of them, it'd be good to know because I played because one of the most famous ones, or at least popular, I don't know if it's well thought of, is the Addams Family one.
Yeah,
and I got to play that. And honestly, it's just like, oh, I didn't do anything. I just kept dying. Like the ball, it was going instantly into the gutter. It sucked. But I played a little bit of Master of Magic, which one I felt like I got it. Like I was, going a while on one ball. But the other thing about Master of Magic that's pretty cool, and this is going to sound, pinball people are going to be like, this happens all the time, you idiot. But one of the cool things was you do a trick where you have there's a floating hand on the board.
Hmm.
And if the ball got near it, a magnet would activate and the ball would kind of go, lock into place, levitating over the hand. And it stopped it from going in the gutter. So it was still I like pinball to the degree that there are, is the gutter the right word? That there are things, safeties in place to stop you from dying.
Yeah. And sometimes there'll be a little, not biro, whatever the name is for the posts that come up out of the ground. I think a biro is a pen. But like a post will come up and stop from going down that, it'll route it back or to give you a free ball if you haven't gone far enough. I really like pinball where the mechanic and theme are pretty tightly put together. Mm-hmm. I'm not that crazy about Transformers, the pinball game, where it's just it's a pinball game, but the Terminator or the T2 table that actually has the Terminator head in it. Sweet. Yeah. I don't know what that confers, but the magnet holding the ball up is a perfect example. It's levitation. The wizard saved you.
Yes. Yeah. And that kind of stuff happens a lot. I've gone to Ground Control a couple times and played like brand new pinball sets, which is just kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, what does this, what does a pinball game made in 2016 play like?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of fun because it is weirdly different, you know, and that theming is generally on point, but it's still difficult to understand because I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yes, there's the Terminator head here, but like, mm-hmm. it's so weird. Pinball games have these goals, you know, like they're like quests.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, in the Star Trek Next Generation one, like there are different missions. The Enterprise goes on during it. I watched somebody play last time I was in a place. Last time I saw Zach, actually, we were at my father's place, the place where we did the Watch Out for Fireballs meetup. And they have a Game of Thrones pinball machine there. And when it starts out, you select your house. What possible, like, what is that? Why? How? Why does it do? You know, why does it do?
Why do?
I'm not questioning it. I'm just curious as to what it does.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, so chances are there's probably not like a laminated booklet that explains what the difference is.
Like,
off the side of it, like ready access. Yeah, no.
I bet you when you get a pinball machine, when you get one for your establishment, mm-hmm. they give you like a manual for it. And then bartenders just throw those in the fucking trash.
Yeah.
Laminated near the pinball machine would be awesome.
Oh yeah. Just to, you know, attach it with a bank chain and there you go.
Like, here are the rules for this game you're playing.
Yeah.
Why is that so hard?
And you know, I'm sure that there exists like YouTube channels, like, you know, somebody like will get the hottest new table and will like film it in loving quality and explain like, hey, here's what's cool about this, or here's what you can expect. Like, I'm sure that there are walkthroughs for pinball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that people who like pinball, it probably works just like with anybody else, where the theming just kind of slips away. And like those different quests in, you know, Game of Thrones or The Next Generation just kind of turn into wireframe and like, oh, now here's the mode and here's my goal for this. Like,
yeah.
Beyond a certain point. So there's like that theming, I think, is there for let's say a jabroni like me.
Sure. You know,
but I
is that the name of your biography?
Jabroni like me.
Don't you wish your call was jabroni like me?
But you know, but it's like, hey, that's neat, but I can't see through it to the mechanic. And the person who actually knows what they're doing at a pinball table can see through it and doesn't care. They just care what the mechanic what the mechanic is.
The theming is there to like attract rubes.
Right.
Like ourselves.
Exactly. And I'm not sure where those lines cross. Like, I don't know if there is like somebody who can appreciate both, you know?
Yeah, me too. I have no idea. Cause it's like, I'm more like to play the X-Men arcade game mm-hmm. or pinball game than I am to play, you know, Carnival or something that's, you know, famously good. I don't know if Carnival is. Carnival, there is an evil carnival themed one that is supposed to be really good, I think.
Carnival is the light gun shooter that has shotguns.
Yes. Yeah. But it's like, oh, I like the X-Men. I'm going to play this, but it has no bearing on the game.
Right.
Which is true of all video games. Like, I just said that, like, why isn't this X-Men, you know, this X-Men Nintendo game isn't good?
X-Men arcade game is basically just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And just all the walls of the arcade fall down.
Yes, it's just come crashing down. It's like in Labyrinth when the junk lady.
Yep.
Oh, you want your old X-Men, do you? But it is just with pinball, I don't know enough about what makes the good game. And the theming is always like as professionally done and bright and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in most cases.
Yeah.
Like, even the Transformer one that you're talking about still like has a lot of Transformers shit on it. Yeah. Like, if you care about Transformers, there's some kind of little Optimus Prime mm-hmm. head in there.
Yeah.
So,
and we're doing that thing that some people don't like, which is Gary and Cole don't understand a thing, but they talk about it anyway. But like,
if people don't like that, like, we're articulating what we don't understand about
it. Okay, cool.
This is what happens when you're articulate and you care about why you don't like things.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like just like, oh, we're not saying we're the authority on it.
Right.
You know, like that's the thing that should be annoying, is if we're just like, this is what pinball is. there is a question mark at the end of everything we're saying. Right at the beginning, we literally said, somebody should explain this to us.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. This is upsetting you.
Because I really want to know. I want to, because like from a young age, you know, I was, you know, sitting there, it was late at night, you know, Nick at Night, watching like, you know, Happy Days, and you know, the Fonz is, I guess, fucking that pinball machine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You give it the tilt.
Yeah.
Give, yeah. You yeah, touch you just, his tilties.
Yeah. You slide the rod, you know, you work the paddles.
Yeah. Like I like when it comes to tilts, I like a small firm tilt, but then sometimes I like a big sloppy tilt too. A big set of sloppy tilts.
Yeah, just really crack the floor. Yeah.
And if you get a good enough set of tilts, you get some tilt milk. And that's me in lactating machines.
Yeah. Ugh, machine milk.
Yeah, that's a real, like, first of all, badly read album. Yep. Second of all, really gross Cronenberg. Yep. Like, the machines are lactating.
Wait a minute, why did
the Cronenberg documentary? Yeah.
Why does this pinball machine have udders, and why is it lactating blood?
Yeah, you just like look down, you've been pulling on like a pin dick the entire time, and then just like, you know, a bunch of blood spurts out along with the egg.
Yeah.
That shoots up into it. Like a Cronenberg pinball machine experience is actually kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. Like I wonder if any pinball machine has worked in like fleshy elements.
Well, I wonder if any maniac has ever constructed a pinball machine out of human parts in their basement.
Gary. You realize that putting that on the world is like one step away from doing it yourself, right?
I know what I said.
but all of this to say, Cronenberg blood tip milk aside, is like pinball has always had this you know, mystique. You know, it's been like, hey, this is something cool. It was always around the place where the Narrowdale Wells were. Like, we were at the bowling alley and we were bowling in the Pee Wee League, and up there by the pool tables, that was where the pinball was.
Yeah, pinball kids.
And I've just
you were a confirmed trash kid. Like, you're over there being like, you guys are fucking shady. And they're like, don't you have a Genesis at home, you piece of shit?
Yep.
And you're just like, yeah.
At degrees, you know, just a little, do I need to break out the flowchart, Gary?
Yeah. You did devolve. You did evolve from Genesis kid into potent pinball wizard.
Yep. Oh, wait a minute. Where did this pack of cigarettes, when did somebody roll that up in my sleeve? Oh, that
just
warm. Comes
it came
with
from
it.
Your body.
Yeah.
The,
there's another one.
I also have you seen the documentary? Have you seen Special Winlet?
No.
It may still be on Netflix. That's where I watched it. I don't know why I was thinking maybe. I watched it like 10 years ago. And it was a long time ago though. I watched it. It was a documentary about pinball, and it's really cool.
Okay.
It leans into the history more than the like somebody explain this fucking bewildering mess of flashing lights and sounds. But the history is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole lot of like kind of controversy about it being a gambling thing, like the mayor of New York had to come down and watch the best pinball player in New York play to prove that it is not, or that it is a game of skill.
Yeah. There's
because he was like us. Like, he was just like, oh, this is just a bunch of random lights and it's all chance.
And that's the thing too, right? Like, maybe there's just something, there's some bit that's flipped in some people. Like, I can't stand being around a slot machine. If I'm in the same room with a slot machine, I get a headache.
Yeah. Know? But some people are just like are really attracted to that.
Yeah,
like it sounds good. It's exciting.
Yeah, there's a great stuff you should know about the history of pinball as well.
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah. They talk about that as well. I think they have pictures and stuff in the documentary. Mm. But I think they talk about that, like that pinball wizard guy.
Nice.
And the versus the mayor of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so that's one of the things that's funny about going to PRG is that is almost at least it began primarily as like a pinball thing, right? Like. The first booth that you see most times is like, here's the booth with all of the parts, you know, for your placement parts for your shit.
Not really. Like, yeah. I wouldn't say it began like that. There's always been a big pinball presence, and that's still the case. But when I went, which was, it might've been the second year, but it very well could have been the first year. It was a lot of like video game sales. Yeah. Like it was focused on, the store aspect of it was the entirety.
Okay.
And then there was an arcade with a couple of pinball machines, a couple of replacement parts, but then also replacement parts for just arcade cabinets too.
Yeah.
It'd be in there.
For some reason, just my impression of it was that it was really heavy on like pinball enthusiast kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just the things you notice, you know.
Well, classic gaming is really heavy on that stuff in general.
Yeah.
And like Portland is a real big pinball town. So you end up like, we have the annual pin brawl.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So
all those people who couldn't play in Alameda just drove up. Translated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Runoff. We got that runoff pee. Pinball, that is.
I know we're on a bit of a time limit, but I found a fantastic Game Facts review.
Oh yeah. Let's hit it up.
The topic. Why does everyone think this game is so hard? This is by ShayDog369, 7 years ago. Yes, I have beaten this game many times without any sort of cheats on the original console. I'm not saying it isn't a great game. It's just one of my favorites of all time on any console. Right now, I'm laughing at the guy that said, I want to be the guy is easier than this. IWBTG is pure hell. More than 500 times harder than this. Parenthetical. BTW. I have beaten IWBTG the whole way up to, quote, the guy. Just can't beat him. What's so hard about this game?
Man, again, it is more than 500 times. That's specific.
Yep. Bottom line, this game is a decent challenge, but no harder than Sonic 1, 2, or 3. And his signature is, in a perfect world, stupidity will be punishable by death. And then he responds, to himself, if this topic archives before you read it, post a response and a new topic.
Yeah, I will have an answer to this.
Yep.
And then the real victim here is Viola Faze at the bottom, who's just like, I agree, it is hard. It's not so hard.
Challenging,
like,
but not really difficult.
Yeah, I don't want to engage on the same level of passion at all, but like, I don't want this person to literally be just screaming into the void.
I mean, that's the kind of person who, if you give them one line, is going to respond with 30.
Yeah, 100%. If someone were to actually engage in the argument with him, that's a nightmare. I'm gonna do it.
Here we go.
It's like, no, this shit is the hardest game I've ever played. You think I want to be the guy as hard? No, I want to be the guy as hard. I want to be the boss as hard. I beat all of them 500 times. But Sonic Spinball destroys me. It's over 1,000 times as hard.
Yeah. This guy, like, you know, he's 28 now. He's getting ready. He's leaving his job as a junior partner in an accounting firm. His phone gives him a little bloop. It's like, wait a minute, Game Packs. I didn't realize. Oh man, must be forwarding. This son of a you just derailed this man's life.
Yeah, it's just he's in a meeting, you know, and it just, he looks down, he keeps looking down at his phone. He's like, well,
I almost beat. I want to be the guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I drive a Kia Sentra.
you put your Sonic stats on your application. It was bold. Your resume, we like that. However, the time is behind you. You're now a partner. Are we there in your play?
I don't shake hands with losers.
Ugh. Yeah. That stupidity should be punished by death is such a, like, one-line thing of just the worst goddamn people in the world.
Oh, yeah. Teenagers.
Yeah. Like, that's it. So it's, yeah, just like, buddy, here's the secret. You are probably kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is. Yeah. Everyone's a dipshit.
Yep.
Like, to a degree. You know? Yeah, I like, there's a whole thing about that too. I remember when I was, and adults do it, it's not kids. Oh, yeah. But I remember when I was first got on the internet and it was like, oh, the Darwin Awards. Here are poor people who died. Like, here are people who died. You don't know what this is. Oh, he walked into an electrified fence. Maybe he was thinking about his mother who had stomach cancer at the time. You know, like, it's real fun to just be like, you know, natural selection, blah, blah, blah.
How much better are you than this? Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that shit. Like, you literally know, you know, none of these people. Anywho, thank you very much for suggesting this, Michael.
Yep, this was Michael. It was also suggested by another super fan, Evan, who says,
"Oh, Evan,
I love Spinball. I got it when I was a kid and played the hell out of it. I still fire it up a couple times a year to beat it. Has a puzzle-like approach to pinball and air control that really appeals to me. I'm recommending it because you both hate it, and it's fun listening to those kinds of episodes. Thanks, Evan."
Yeah, well, welcome to you get a co-creator credit on Boko?
Yeah, Beppo. Bodo?
Beppo. Thank you, Beppo. I don't like it very much. But it doesn't mean I don't like Evan.
Right.
I do like Evan. So if you want to win a raffle, what should you do, Cole?
Well, we have a Patreon set up for the entire duckfeed.tv podcast network. You can locate that at duckfeed.tv/... You can locate that at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. That is one of the upper tiers, but I think you get something cool at every tier.
Yes. All 96 tiers. Question mark? No experience. So yes, you get something cool at all those things. This one, you get to choose a game for us to pick, and you just dictate it.
Yep.
And that's pretty cool. You also get access to our Slack channel at $2 a month, a bonus episode of the show at $6 a month, and the rewards go up from there. Mm-hmm. So check it out. You also get the warm, fuzzy feeling of supporting something you like.
Yeah.
You know, this show does not have the most listeners on the network, but it does have very dedicated fans.
Yeah.
So people who like this show tend to really like it. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate you donating. If you don't already donate, you know, $1 a month. Yeah. If everybody who listened to this did that, that would make a big difference.
It certainly would.
So, and that's $12 a year. Not too much. Yeah. If you can't do that, ratings and reviews are really, really helpful and heartwarming.
Yeah.
So throw those our way, and mostly tell friends about it, because it is a hard show to give a one-line synopsis to, I think.
And so if somebody trusts your sense of humor or your interest in things, it's easier for that to kind of like transfer over. Just say dog.
Yes.
Trust. Dog.
Yes.
Trust.
Yeah. And yeah, so I think that's about it.
I believe so.
Thanks everybody for listening. And what is hog power?
Here comes Beppo.
Here comes Beppo. Hey guys, you on any kind of thing? For that, I don't know puppies that I know of.
Hey guys, I'm double parked.
Yeah, you guys, I'm double parked. I'm looking to double park a little bit later, if you know what I mean. Yeah. I hear you got a 2-car garage, and Beppo can get down with that.